It is such a privilege to be standing here following Brother David. It's as if someone planned this. I have no idea what I'm about to say. I am nothing but a persistent delusion that continues to appear and cause suffering. This much I know. And as Brother David said, the sacred secret of silence. And an embodiment of the sacred secret of silence. After years of deep practice. Disciplined, devoted practice. Wow. And then the music calling us all to harmony, to synchronize in this world space where our heart melts all polarities. And a great peace arises. How many of you have been seeking this great peace? How many of you are tired of seeking? Brother David has pointed the way into the sacred secret of silence. I am so grateful to have been born into a body that has had the good fortune to live in this human realm. There are other realms, you know. And to be blessed with such incredible teachers. I've had 5 great teachers. You know what a great teacher is? It's one that completely changes the direction of your life. And they appear at the perfect time. There they are. You've gone too far this way. And there they are pointing the other way. I was blessed to stumble into my last 2 great teachers at the same time. Both pointing different ways. Now, this creates a little cognitive dissonance. And if you have to hold both polarities at the same time, you will either break down or break through. I'm not sure which path I took. So in Zen, we get these Dharma names. My name is Doshin. This is 2 Japanese words. Do means the Tao, the way. And Shin is an interesting word. It means both head and heart. And it depends on the context. In this context, it's the heart, the great heart way. And I was so comfortably stuck in my head. I had to take the long way around. Took a while. My teacher, my Zen teacher, Junpo Kondo Dennis Kelly, gave me that name. It was a pointing of the way to melt this frozen heart. Wow. Deep gratitude. Then the second name arose out of the emptiness. As a Zen teacher, Zen master, a lineage holder, I give students Zen names. So the way you do that is you drop into the silence, and it just appears out of nowhere, the perfect name for the student. So I would go across my list of names as I was preparing to give somebody a name, and there was this one name that was just such a good name. No, it's not right for that one. No, it's not the right one for that one. And finally, in the middle of the ceremony, I realized whose name it was. So I mentioned this story, and this was a ceremony that Junpo and I were both participating in. And we have a way of delivering this name. And so I told this story in the ceremony, and Junpo looked at me, and he said, "You are Daigu, Daigu, Daigu." And everybody cracked up. So Daigu is another Japanese name. Dai means great. Gu means fool. And in a couple hundred years, we'll know whether the great is true or not. And to me, that's what a true Zen master is a holy fool that points to the sacred within you, points to the path that is perfect for you. There's only one way, and it's your way. One size no longer fits all. Not in these times. These interesting times. So Ken gave us a koan yesterday. I don't know if anybody caught it. The koan was religion. Ally or enemy of evolution. This is a koan. This is a question the thinking mind can't answer. This is a call to adventure for each and every one of us. And I just want to point to something another great teacher said. What led me to Ken was a journey I had begun when I was 17 years old and I met my first great teacher. She introduced me to the likes of Carl Jung and D.T. Suzuki and Krishnamurti, Myriak Eliade, Joseph Campbell, and many more. And all of a sudden, this rebellious, confused 17-year-old no longer felt alone. There were people like me that struggled with these questions. Why? What? How? So simple, yes? So I realized that these times were sick. There was a disease that we all had been infected with. Things were not healthy in this social body. Not sure it ever is. But there was a particular flavor to this disease. And I began looking for who had the medicine. Who are the heroes of today? Who have the sacred medicine that will heal the disease of today? I suspected that Carl Jung was one, many years ahead of his time. Bucky Fuller seemed like another. Einstein, of course. Alfred North Whitehead was another that made my short list. And I hadn't run into Wilbur yet. I didn't run into Wilbur until 20 years later. And it appeared to me that he was the Newton of the next age. I spoke with him on Saturday. He looked pretty good. I was surprised considering what he's just been through. He's my fifth great teacher. My fourth great teacher is Junpo. That's why Zen, integral Zen. What a koan for me. Einstein said many things. Many profound things. Many simple things like E equals MC squared. Such simplicity and profundity at the same time. That's because he is an embodiment of knowledge and insight. A rare embodiment of these two things. He said that not science without religion is blind. And religion without science is lame. Isn't that interesting? Such wisdom in this. To me, I interpret that as knowledge without insight is blind. Insight without knowledge is lame. This creates a dissonance in each one of us. It creates a moral dilemma that we will be called to solve for ourselves. And how do you know what to follow? Follow your heart. As the Buddha said, when the foot feels the ground, when you start to do, the heart knows the way. If you're listening to your heart. And the message of your heart is love. And how do you know what love is and what love is not? Well, as my first great teacher told me when this confused 17-year-old asked her, how do you know what is love? She got very quiet, as if no one had ever asked her that question before. And she looked. And the answer that arose out of her silence was simple. Love is always gentle. This knowing of the heart, which is your inner voice, is always gentle voice. So gentle, we often ignore it. So this moral dilemma gentleman by the name of Eric Neumann, who was a student of Jung, one of the few students that furthered Jung's work. He was German and Jewish, and he lived in Berlin. And he decided that he probably should leave before the war. Good idea. He moved to Tel Aviv. He wrote a book in 1949 when this psychosis was just over, this cultural psychosis of World War II. And the title of the book is Depth Psychology and a New Ethic. And do you know what the old ethic is? It's an ethic of perfection. Let's just go through the colors. At red, when the ego first emerges, the new emergent is the ego. What needs to be perfected is control. Control needs to be perfected. This creates some really unnecessary things, like suffering. Perfect control, the easiest way to control people is through fear and terror. How many examples of that exist in human history? Many. So the medicine for that imbalance was the second person perspective. Blue in spiral dynamics, amber in integral theory. And these are the perfect rules to civilize the beast of the ego. But this soon gets out of balance and sick too. It has a life cycle. And the life cycle results in burning people at the stake, crusades, holy wars. Not a pretty picture. So the next evolutionary step is orange, a third person perspective. And what is the perfect ideal of orange? Perfect knowledge, based on the scientific method. The third person perspective emerges. And this results in a blindness, a lack of insight. So that brings on the fourth person perspective that includes systems theory, the whole, the environment, an inner exploration into the internal nature of our souls, if we have souls. I'm not saying we do. I'm a Zen guy. So this leads to another disease, addiction. What's perfect in the fourth person perspective? Perfect happiness. Now the problem with all these perfections is that they create shadows. If I have to be perfect, if the tension of the collective is that I have to be perfect in any of these ways, then I'm going to completely ignore the part of myself that's not perfect. How many of you are perfect? So this is a problem. This is called shadow. We have to wake up. We have to continue to evolve. And we have to clean up all our delusions where we've repressed the ways that we're not perfect. So what Wilbur has brought forth is a new ethic. That's what Eric Neumann did too. But Wilbur has given us a map. The cognitive line leads. We have a map into this territory. We have a map to go in and see for ourselves the answer to this koan. And the answer is neither yes or no. We must transcend and develop the knowledge and insight to be free of the conflict. Deepest gratitude. You know you've been successful, as you will see in this event, when two things emerge, gratitude and humor.